This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Looking to start a side hustle or become your own boss? Do it with Shopify. Whether you're selling succulents or stilettos, Shopify has the industry-leading tools to help you create, control, and grow your own business. So get serious about selling and get Shopify today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.co.uk/special offer.
They say people who listen to podcasts have curious minds. With ITVX, let curiosity take the lead. So get drawn into small towns with big secrets. Find cities full of superpowered slackers. Or follow Andrew Garfield into a chilling true crime case. Because you never know where a curious mind might lead you. Get drawn into the drama and stream free on ITVX.
Hey, what's up? It's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and my good buddy Kyle Kinane, we'd get together each week, ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, other mysteries of the universe. At least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about Vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also had a Patreon page. We would offer up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully, someday soon, we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster. But until then, please enjoy this blast from the past from your old pals, Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening.
They've closed the interstate. Nothing to do but wait. I parade red tail lights in front of me. The snow is assaulting down. 12 hours from my hometown. Man, this ain't no way to spend a Christmas Eve. A billboard back there said there's a truck stop up ahead. So I decides to pull her over, get my hunger fed. Fumble for my phone, cause I shouldn't be calling home. Tell her I can't make it, that I'm not worse for dread. But it looks like this is gonna be a truck stop Christmas.
We're rolling. What's up, Hambone?
Break off some, dude. Break off some.
It's us again.
Bonus from the road.
Bonus from the road, baby.
Road bonus, dog.
Road bonus. How you feeling, man?
Good. We just wrapped up in Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
Manhandled in the panhandle. And then we had Whataburger.
Yeah. Oh, so good. I scarfed it down.
Yeah?
My default is just, and maybe this is part of my problem, I'm always just like, give me the double. And then you get it, and it weighs like half a fucking pound. You're like, I should just start hitting the singles.
I was like that, but I would get like, I'll get two cheeseburgers. Like, no, just give me a double cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Like, oh, let me cut down on the calories of that extra bun that would be included.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. Yeah, I just got fries. I had chicken sausage today. Had a rib yesterday. This fucking South's not going to let me leave without eating.
What's going on, man?
I don't know. Just
went in Rome.
Oh, Wes Van Horn showed up with a bag of a satchel of barbecue to the green room yesterday. So I had one. I had a rib.
Did I tell you about running into him at the barbecue joint?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a 250,000 people in Birmingham. There's four people in this barbecue restaurant, and we both show up independently.
That's not as outlandish as it should be, given the nature of the two of you fellows. He was going there to get stuff for us, and you were already there getting stuff for yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had a rib. Then I ordered veggie scramble today.
Mm-hmm. And they put chicken sauce.
And they put chicken sauce. I ate it. again, can't go to waste, so I'm going to eat it.
Don't you think when someone orders a veggie dish at a restaurant that they should really pay attention to it?
I think if I sent it back, there'd be a hate crime in the South, so yeah. I just went ahead and ate it.
Yeah, won't step on any toes.
Nah, I was fine with it. I figured I'm here. And then I got spicy ketchup with these fries from Whataburger. I think it's just cocktail sauce. That's all it was. I was like, I think it's just cocktail sauce. You called it spicy ketchup, but I think it's just cocktail sauce.
When I worked at Longhorn, we had ranch and we had light ranch. And whenever we'd run out of light ranch, I'd just give them ranch with a little blue cheese in it just to make it, well, this tastes different. This isn't normal ranch.
You don't put a little water in there to make it soupy?
I never thought of that, but I'd put a little dollop of blue cheese just to make them, you know. It's like, well, this is clearly not ranch, so I guess
you guys, were you joking about that? That's like, I want blue cheese dressing, so you just put blue cheese crumbles on top of ranch?
Yeah, I've done that too, yeah.
I could probably tell the difference. Also, I wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, just let me have it.
I mean, there's really not a whole lot of difference. Like, the way I make blue cheese and ranch, they're essentially the same thing, but one has blue cheese crumbles.
Yeah.
Maybe change up the spice a little bit, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, man, those are good fries. I snuck a few.
Yeah, I had both those. I had a burrito from Burrito Punks, the Burrito Punks Birmingham last night. It's at that point now where I don't remember what day. I know where we're supposed to be on the day we wake up, and then that's it. I don't remember yesterday.
Yeah, it's a blur.
It's a real, like, those rock ballads about, like, until the day from the bottle that you drink, like... It gets to that point.
Road goes on forever and the party never ends.
It gets a little mind-numbing, but we're there. Two more days left.
Yeah. Do you do this, like, those first few seconds, like, when I wake up in the morning? Like, sometimes I'll know, like, within a couple of seconds, but there's been days where I'll just sit there and stare at the ceiling. Pardon me. I just bash my head
over hotel art with your brain.
There's been days where I just sit there and stare at the ceiling for, like, 20, 30, 40 seconds. Like, I have no fucking idea where I'm at.
It happens to me when I get back to the hotel and realize I don't remember at all what room I was in, because you just got a key and went to your room when you got to the city, then did the show. You're like, no fucking idea, man. No fucking idea.
Have you ever had to go up to the front desk and go, I don't
know? Oh, often. Yeah, often. Like, can you tell me what room I'm in? It's been my ninth hotel room in 9 days, so...
I have a little technique. As soon as I get to the room, I take a picture of the little key card envelope.
That's a smarter way to do it. I do that with my car at airport parking and stuff. Yeah. But we're out here. We're grinding. We got Lafayette and New Orleans, and then that's it, man. Yeah. Then I'm done for the year, dude.
Yeah. Does that feel good? It's like school's almost out.
It'll feel good, but these shows have all been fun.
Yeah.
You know, knock on wood, don't want to jinx it, but that's knock on wood, so far so good.
Yeah.
But this is the bonus episode.
Yeah, last one of the year. Apologies for being a little late. You know, you'd think.
Have any been on time?
No.
Any of them been on time?
No, some. Occasionally we'll get one out on like the 31st of the month. But, and I thought, you know, hey, we're traveling together this week. We'll easily be able to knock these out. But like the way you schedule these runs is, you know, we have a different show, not only a different show every day, a different city every day. We got no days off.
Yeah.
And time is scarce. So
also, we've just been sitting next to each other for 8 days. Like, what else do you want to talk about, man? Any shit we haven't, any stone left unturned?
True.
No pun intended.
That's true. But yeah, so that's why we're asking the listeners to do the heavy lifting on these bonuses.
Let's do it.
So shout out to the patrons. Again, thank you for your support.
The bonus that you pay for is you doing the work for us.
Yeah, that's look at us. We tricked you. But yeah, I posted this last week. I said, what's your holiday tradition? I figured we do a holiday bonus. What are you eating? What are you drinking? What are you watching, listening to, what have you? Yeah, I'm always interested in people's holiday traditions.
Yeah.
And we've talked a little bit about this in the past, but refresh my memory. Is there any, do you have any holiday traditions other than, like, you know, I know you try to go visit your family or whatnot, but like, is there a movie you have to watch? Is there a dish you have to eat? Anything that, like, oh, it's the holiday season, I gotta have this.
You know what? This is not wrong or right. This is just an opinion I've had about traditions. I for some reason wanted to buck against the idea of tradition, and I don't know why. I think it's maybe just being a smart ass kid, like, well, this is what we do. Like, well, why? what if everybody wants to do something like is everybody like this, or is it comfort in the repetition of it, or what was it that like I just like my buddies was Swedish or whatever, and they would have lutefisk every year. It's fish that's soaked in lye.
Okay. Now, what's there's a Jewish version of something similar. Gefilte fish.
Okay. Probably, but something that's like only been done because in the day that's how you preserved it or got the point, something.
Yeah.
But now it's a tradition. It's like, and now that I'm at the age I am, like, oh, I see like kind of the having ties to the old world, and I'm a little bit more easygoing about it. But at first I'm like, if it's just bad, why do you keep doing it? Like, oh, it's from the old world. Yeah, it's from when things were shitty.
Yeah.
That, and that's like take the good things, the good traditions. But I'm understanding now it's a little bit more of like a connection to heritage, and I'm a little, hopefully a little bit less of a prick about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But my family didn't have anything like that. Once in a while, they'd go and get Lithuanian sausage for the day, which is real good.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've ever had that.
No, you've talked about that in the past. I've had Portuguese sausage. I've had a bunch of other stuff, but I've never had Lithuanian.
I don't know how to describe it. It's just good. So it's not a tradition. It's just that it's good, and we happen to be somewhat Lithuanian. So,
can you describe it? Like, how would that be different than, like, German stuff?
I don't know. I think it's like a coarse. It's a coarse sausage.
Mm-hmm.
It just tastes like a different type of sausage, but it tastes good.
Yeah.
I'll say that. It tastes good.
So that's something y'all would eat on Christmas Day?
But not every holiday. Just if somebody felt like going down to whichever Lithuanian deli or Polish deli had it, and it was not every year. It was once in a while, like, oh, your father went down to the Polish deli and had Lugan sausage in, so we got that. You know, my mom makes a broccoli cheese casserole for every occasion. That's just that shows up.
Yeah.
And then I don't have a lot of traditions. And I'm wondering if I'll regret that later on. But I don't have a lot, man.
We were talking just randomly the other day over lunch or something about Christmas and how, you know, sometimes, I don't know, I can't remember if this is current or just when you were a kid, but how you didn't enjoy it. Because you got your birthday like 2 days before.
Yeah, I always felt like nobody made me feel this way, but you could just see like the hustle and the stress around the holidays, and then my birthday's on the 23rd. So I was like, all right, well, and my mom always did a great job of like, no, this is your birthday and everything, but you could still tell.
Inevitably, it's going to get, that, like, you're going to lose a little bit.
This is a pain in the ass.
Than if it was a month earlier or a month later.
Yeah, or you see people... And then, like, oh, by the way, happy birthday. Usually get a holiday get-together. Oh, by the way, happy birthday. But I don't know any other way. But now I don't give a shit about anybody else's birthday. Because I'm like, yeah, it's just a fucking day. And so not because I'm jealous. Like, I just don't realize that other people make their birthday seem like it's important to them. And I'm like, oh, it's not. It's never been a thing for me. So I don't think it's a thing for somebody else. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a poor me. I don't know another way. I'm just like, yeah, how do you think we all fucking got here?
Yeah.
So I'm like, not to sound cold about it, but like, it's your birthday. Fucking great. Yesterday it wasn't. Tomorrow it's not. Yeah. What do you want?
Big deal.
Cake? Here's a cake. Good for you.
Before we get into the questions, do you have any Christmas or holiday memories from from your childhood that stick out, whether they be good or bad or indifferent?
Good memories. My Aunt Betty and Uncle Johnny, we used to go to their house sometimes for Christmas. We'd go between my grandparents, and then this was my grandmother's sister. So it was my big, like, guess, yeah, my aunt. And they were just like, they just had the basement with the bar and the little mini kitchen. So they had their upstairs, it was their house, but then everybody had a pool table, and then just all the cousins just going buck.
Yeah.
And it was definitely one of those, like, all right, the adults are on that side of the room having drinks, and it's good times Christmas. And so never in a bad way, or not that I can remember, adult drunks was basically just, like, no authority for the kids.
Okay.
You know, because they're not, like, they weren't, it was, like, good mood drunk. Like, even if they were drunk, like, I remember a lot of beer cans being around. Mm-hmm. But anytime we were at that house, it was never, nobody's getting yelled at. It was more like, yeah, let the kids have a thing. It's Christmas. And yeah. we were just maniacs.
That's awesome.
Just everybody getting their fingers smashed on the pool table because you can't even see over it. You're just whipping balls across the felt onto the other side where kids are hanging on to it. And those were good times. I remember that just being like and you got your new toys and you get to see your cousin's new toys. Yeah. You get to see the cousins you only see once a year. And that was in Franklin Park. That was a fun one.
How many cousins do you have, like first cousins, that would show up to first cousin like this?
Not on my mom's side, I just have two. And on my dad's side, first cousins, there's two that lived in California that we never saw. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if that's a first cousin. So just three on my dad's side, and then two that lived in California that I never really met, like a couple times. And then moved to California, and now I'm like great buds with the one of them.
Are those the folk? No, that we weren't in California. You had some cousins or somebody show up to a show on this run. I can't remember what city we were in.
Oh, that's like second cousins, okay. Like my mom's side. It's like my mom's cousin and her kid kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They really throw the AC on, even though it's only 64 degrees outside here in Pensacola.
Yeah, and I thought I had turned it off.
You want me to get it?
Yeah,
I get it. Go keep them entertained, Dave.
That's annoying.
Yo, keep them entertained, Dave.
Oh, by the way, we got some Bud Lights there if you need some.
I don't know. We'll see.
We smuggled some from the venue. Yeah, I only have, I think, two cousins on my dad's side that I maybe have met once in my life. So they were never really involved in, like, the family stuff. But I have two cousins on my mom's side that were always at all the holiday events. So it's basically all our holiday. My childhood, it was just the four grandkids. It was me and my brother, and then my two cousins.
Yeah.
And talking about like this is something I kind of I don't know if regret is the right word. But there was never any booze involved in any of our family activities. Now my grandfather and my aunt did drink some, but they it was that like Southern Baptist shame, so they would drink in the basement alone, just the two of them. Like years later, we'd find out like, oh, you know, they'd go down to the basement and have some Jack Daniels or whatever. But like, alcohol was never present in any of our family holidays.
Yeah, I remember like everybody drank Old Style, and I thought that was like Old Style. It's for old people because that's what they smelled like. Everybody smelled like Old Style, like old people. That's Old Style. That's what they drink.
Oh, man. But, yeah, just as an adult now, I'm looking back. I'm like, man, it would have been fun if, you know, there's some booze floating around. And, you know, I don't know.
We'd crack into the old bottles when we were old enough.
I would have enjoyed that, you know, having a beer with an uncle or my dad or whomever, you know. But, it was just like, oh, no, we can't have that. It's like, who gives a shit? Enjoy yourself. It's a holiday.
Yeah. I remember little kid was good times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The cousin just, but I don't know if it's like winter and the birthday thing. Like, it just seemed like there was so much pressure put on the holiday.
Yeah.
For it to go perfectly. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Especially like, certain people, like it was like, this has to go perfect. Like, why are you stressed out on Christmas?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like should be fun. That's palpable.
Should be fun.
But yeah, I mean, if this was a Halloween episode, I'd go off. But yeah. Christmas is just
no big deal.
Yeah.
Do you remember any gifts that like blew your mind? Like, oh, I can't believe I finally got this.
Yeah, my mom was always very thoughtful about gifts, you know.
Yeah.
Was always like, and she'd always do this thing like, oh, it's going to be bad this year. It's not going to be, we don't have money. And then Christmas would be amazing.
Yeah.
But again, that wasn't her intent.
Yeah.
But instead of being surprised, I just feel guilty. So I'm like, well, you told me we didn't have money to have a good Christmas. And then in my impression, this is a great Christmas, but it means that you can't afford this and you did this for it. So that added to the stress.
Yeah.
Like that just made me, but that's on me. That's like I was just a nervous disaster of a child most of the time. And just like lost thumbnails to biting them and was a panicky kid. And then you add this, like, it's going to be bad. And then I get like I got an acoustic guitar, a new bike. I'm like, you guys can't, no, this is bad. We can't afford it. And it the whole thing stresses me out.
That was some good wherewithal on your part though, as a child to be able to process like
But that guilt.
No, it's not good because that's not. It wasn't the intent.
Yeah.
It wasn't like from a place of manipulation. So that's just how I felt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, you know, like when the gifts are so well thought out, and what if you don't like the gift, then you feel like you're hurting somebody. The whole fucking thing stresses me out, man.
Yeah.
Christmas stresses me out.
Huh. Even now?
Yeah. Because then I worry about my ability to give a good gift to somebody. If I got them, did I get them enough? Like Rachel just went nuts last year, got me all this stuff. I'm like, I don't. Yeah. No, like, what am I going to do with this? She's like, I don't take it back. I don't care. I'm like, yeah. But you thought enough about me to think I'd want this. It, like, as I'm talking about it now, I'm like, I don't think I like Christmas. I don't think I like it all. I think it's stressful and it's.
Yeah. I stress over Katie's gifts because Katie's hard to shop for. Like, she's into a bunch of girly stuff, but I'm not. You know, like, I'm easy. Like, just get me some records or whatever. But, like, I never know what to get her. So, and she's so generous. And she's such a good gift giver. She goes big for me every year. And I'm just like, necklace, jewelry, I don't know.
And then it's like, oh, you went big but not thoughtful. Because it's like, well, here's a thing that cost a lot, but something you would never use. Yeah. And then just seeing the exchange of somebody pretend to like something. I don't like this holiday. As we're talking right now, I realize, I don't like Christmas. I don't like it. It just comes with stress and anxiety.
Yeah. So, I like it. I mean, those details, like I said, you know, can stress me out. But overall, I enjoy it. There's just something nostalgic about it. And just, I don't know, it's I always look at it as like resetting the year, even though it's at the end of the calendar year. But like, you know, as far as like just the overall year, it's just like, oh, it's just a nice little pause right there in the middle of winter. And you know, but I do stress over trying to match Katie's generosity. So and I feel like I'm running out of, I mean, we've been together on and off now for 9 years.
You guys ever just say like, let's just cap it at one or two things.
Yeah.
Like, and don't go past that.
Yeah.
Because that's my thing is like, I will feel bad, but you shouldn't. It doesn't matter what you say. I'm going to feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you can't absolve me of the guilt that is just a built-in part of the system.
Yeah.
You can't say anything that's going to make it go away.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just there. Well, let's get into some questions now that we've determined that you don't like Christmas.
I don't think I do. I think it comes with too much baggage for me to relax.
Let's see. Top of the list, Tyler Cooper says, always have to rewatch Gremlins, the greatest Christmas movie. I do love Gremlins.
So all right.
That's a good one.
I haven't watched that one in a while.
That I used to forget that was a Christmas movie because, like, sometimes I think of, like, a horror movie or, you know, even, like, a kid's movie. But then, you know, seeing it, I'm
set
like, oh, yeah.
Around Christmas.
Set
yeah.
around Christmas. And then that whole storyline with Phoebe Cates and her father. That's
that's a gnarly one, man.
It was a weird curveball they threw into that. Right on. Thanks, Tyler. Yeah, but still, are you going to? Oh, shit. I just did. Oh, man. What happened? I did. My computer, like, zoomed in, like, on your phone. You know how?
All right.
God damn it.
What'd you do? I got to
reset this
did
shit.
Did you get your burger fingers all over it? What'd you do?
Hold on. Okay.
Well, you go figure it out
God
there.
God damn it. I'm trying to
be delicate. I don't know if I'm getting clanks on my mic. I'm not using a stand. We're chilling in a Hambone Inn in Pensacola.
That's right. Everybody. Yeah, but still, are you going to let us see the Boogie Monster pilot for Christmas? You actually brought that up the other day.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to get a hold of that.
Trying to get a hold of that. Maybe do something with it. Let folks see it. But, yeah, as of right now, we don't have access to it. But maybe soon.
I don't know why not.
That always annoys me about show business stuff. Like, I've done a few pilots, and, like, I've had people just... I was on Last Comic Standing. I tried to get that clip. They were just like, no. I'm like, I can't have that.
Yeah, somebody else owns it, man.
Jesus Christ. Like, but what am I going to... I'm not going to put it, burn it on a DVD and sell it. Can I just throw it out there?
It's somebody owns it.
Yeah, hopefully soon. Meeta Gonzalez, what's your ideal Christmas... through Christmas night. Okay, what's your ideal... The Xmas is throwing me off because I can't read. What's your ideal Christmas Eve through Christmas night itinerary? Dave requests, can you please take the thermometer in the shower and let us know how hot you scald your jingle bells?
Yeah, dude. I'm still worried about you.
Yeah, no, it's a good time, buddy. It's a good time. My ideal Christmas Eve, like, well, everything's changed in the last few years, you know. As you're an adult, you know, things change. But, you know... Right now, I mean, if I'm being completely honest, not leaving the house, just kicking it with me and Katie. You know, some booze, some weed, some movies, some good food. But you know, you gotta pacify the family. But yeah, my ideal Christmas Eve is just at home. You know, like stocking up, having, you know, plenty of food, plenty of supplies, whatever we need, and just not having to leave the house, not having
plenty of supplies
to go. You know, I always hated like the travel aspect of it, like because when I was a kid, we'd have to get up really early and do our immediate family Christmas or the Santa Claus or whatever, and then we'd have to be over at my grandmother's, who lived like an hour away. We'd have to be over there at like 10 a.m. and do, you know, so it was just like, I remember getting up early and feeling rushed and then having to go take a shower and put on good clothes and get in the car and drive to grandma's.
Yeah, it's a lot of hustle. I'm thinking about like kids of divorced families or something where now you got to add, now you've just divided how many, like you got even more people you got to run around and see. And
yeah, I was fortunate. I'll give my folks credit for that, that, you know, I mean, not just for Christmas, but, you know, in the grander scope of things, that I didn't have to deal with stepdads and stepmoms and you know, multiple things like that. But, yeah, I always felt bad for – I had cousins that were like that. Like, we're over here now, and then by 3, we got to be over at my aunt's house, and then by 5, we got to be over there. And I was like, boy, that's a lot of effort.
Yeah, I don't know what, like – I'm surprised more people don't just stagger it. We're doing Christmas in June. No, that's my thing with this, like this idea of tradition. We got to hold to this day because somebody else said we're gonna like. There's very few hard and fast rules in this world. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's laws, but as far as Christmas is December 25th, fucking says who?
Yeah, which, if you even believe in that, it's probably not. Accurate.
But you could just decide, like, you know what? We're going to see the family. But for us, we split the year up. And June 25th, we just have Christmas. We just do a thing. Like, it just seems like all these are all easily manipulated rules.
No one's enforcing them. There's no consequence. Like, you're not going to get in trouble if you celebrate it early or late.
Or just have an excuse. Like my mom left the tree up all year and just decorated it for the different holidays. Like, yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
You know, here's Easter decorations for the tree.
It would literally be up year-round?
Yeah, it's up right now. Now it's Christmas. But when I was there, it had Halloween, had a witch hat on the top, had Halloween decorations. Yeah.
That's funny.
And then, like, that's... Who says you can't do that?
Yeah.
Who says... You can't have Christmas decorations in front of your house in June. And explain it to nobody. Put your Halloween shit up in May. Who cares?
That would be funny if you lived in a neighborhood. And I guarantee you some neighborhood, some stupid homeowners association would complain about that bullshit.
But homeowners association are just, they're just micro-Nazis. Yeah.
Carl Fisher, first off, the Waltons can take a hike. That is all. All right, thanks, Carl.
Yeah, thanks, Carl. Appreciate you, dude.
I'm telling you.
Appreciate you, Carl.
It's a quality film.
They're remaking it.
Are they?
Or they're adding a new one.
Hmm.
Some dog shit, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't mess with the classics.
Something you can fucking blow your hot ball load all over.
Gonna go find my daddy.
Fucking steamy skunk.
I have some applesauce cake. Brandon Howard. We have been on a really big beef kick lately. Chuck roast seasoned with classic beefy southern goodness like Dale's, etc., cooked down with beef stock, garlic and onions served over mashed potatoes. Also been in a Waylon Jennings mood as well. All right. That's a couple of good Christmas traditions there. I do love some good beef.
Sure you do,
cooked
Dave.
Cooked down with garlic and onions. Ooh, I might make my beef short ribs for Christmas. Man, last year I talked about smoked a prime rib, and it was one of my greatest culinary achievements.
Smoked prime rib.
Yeah, just a big, you know, prime rib.
There's another thinly sliced.
Yeah, well, not too thin. I like a good slab. Yeah. But yeah, I got like a 3-bone prime rib. It was about probably 5 pounds, and good rub on that. Smoked it all day, and oh boy, and then I sliced it at the table. You know, for presentation.
Okay, real. Did you get the big tall hat?
No.
Do you have a big tall hat?
I don't have a big tall hat. I'd like a big tall hat. Maybe I should look into that.
Because those prime rib guys, that's even bigger than a chef's hat. That's like double chef hat. What is the technical reasoning for that?
No idea. No idea. I would assume some of that's based on, I feel like a lot of that's French. Like a lot of the culinary traditions seem to spawn from France. Just such a.
But like, does it get the heat out or something? Like,
that's a great question.
They always got the prime rib guys always have the tallest hats.
I never thought of that. That's funny. All right, thanks for checking
in. Just in sense of the buffet, I always think of getting prime rib buffet, and then you know maybe that's why. Like, where's prime rib? We'll look for the hat.
Yeah. I might look into that.
That's worthwhile.
Yeah. Get some chef's whites, maybe with my name on them.
Yeah.
Big silly hat. Jake Miller, the time Tim Allen killed Santa Claus, and then he had to marry a woman or get fired. And then when Jack Frost came to try and cuck Christmas away from him. I never saw Jack Frost.
Given that description, I think I'm going to have to watch this movie.
Yeah, yeah. Jack Frost, I know about that. I think Michael Keaton's in that.
I thought that was the Santa Claus.
No, Tim Allen's in the Santa Claus, but then he said, and then when, I'm assuming these are two different movies, and then when Jack Frost came to try and cuck. Oh, okay, maybe not. Is Jack Frost a character in the Santa Claus movie? I'm thinking of the movie.
Well, Jack Frost is just the name of...
Yeah, I don't know.
Old man.
I don't know what he's talking about. Tried to cut Christmas away from. I got to go back and watch that and figure out what he's...
I watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Mm-hmm. I can't think of any like Christmas traditional movies, though.
What is that your favorite Christmas movie?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't think of much else that I... Again, I don't dive into the holiday. Mm-hmm. I'm usually pissed because it's like November 1st, you start seeing Christmas decorations. Yeah. Like, you know, the Halloween's body isn't even cold yet. The best holiday, hands down. The dirt's not even packed down on it. And then it's just the Mercedes with a bow on it ads. Oh. Like,
fuck off. Who's buying... their spouse Alexis for Christmas.
Nobody, but they know they just have to make that ad.
Yeah.
They know they just have to make that ad.
Also, I always thought about that, like, be funny if, like, hey, I got you Alexis, you know. Oh, I got the down payment, but, like, you're going to, we financed it and you're going to have to take care of it.
Yeah, yeah, it's in your name. Oh, that's man. What I mean. Like, I bet, like, the holiday, just like the only reason I would think about having kids is because Halloween. Because, like, yeah, you're going to wear this costume because you don't realize this is the best costume you'll ever. Mm-hmm. I could see, like, having kids and getting them gifts and seeing the delight that they have opening gifts. Maybe that's why I could see having kids enjoying Christmas. But I don't have that. I'm like, let's get moving. Mm-hmm. Give me that springtime action.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to see Easter decorations go up December 26th.
Yeah.
Let's follow through. Fucking Cadbury cream eggs. Mm-hmm. Get these fucking candy canes out of here.
Well, Valentine stuff hits the store like the day after Christmas, doesn't it? Like, it seems like it.
Yeah, but that, I mean, they're all like all the capitalist holidays. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just give me that Easter, man. Get me right on them good jelly beans. Give me them Peeps. Give me Cadbury. I don't even want a Cadbury cream egg, but just let them put them on display.
Now, speaking of that, I know you don't care about Christmas, but are there any Christmas treats that you look forward to?
I mean,
snacks, desserts, candy.
It's all the same food from other holidays.
How so?
Other than candy canes, which I'll have like one. Mm-hmm. That's all right. And then if you don't bite it and you're just like sucking on it, it gets, it's dagger sharp.
Yeah.
Put a hole in your face with that thing.
I remember our bus driver in elementary school. We had a bus driver named Miss Bobo, and it seemed like, and I had her like my whole elementary school career, like 7 years.
It's the name of a chimp.
Yeah, Mrs. Bobo. But she would give us the last day before Christmas break on the ride home, she would hand out the giant... they weren't candy canes, but it was just like a candy...
Oh, the club?
Like a fucking club. Like a goddamn Aspaton. Oh,
the Jimmy Jack?
Yeah.
What are they called?
I mean, this thing was like a foot long.
The Black Jacks?
Had some girth to it. And I remember just sucking on that bastard for like a week. Like, it was a multi-day process.
The kind that you got to wrap it up and then put it in the fridge.
Sticky and gross, and the fucking stripes start to fade.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
eventually it's just white.
Just a peppermint rod.
I tell you what I do love. I think, I don't know why the fuck they don't make this just year-round. White fudge Oreo. It's amazing.
Oh, we've gone down this road.
Amazing product.
Are we now? Should we be stopping at like a drugstore to get some of these for you right now on this ride? I mean, we got a feast tomorrow.
That's what I got to do. I got to stock up for.
That's you're talking about stocking up. Yeah. Get yourself a few months worth.
Yeah,
it's an Oreo. It's not going to go bad.
Yeah.
Rachel's got a theory that any holiday Oreos taste better because you know they're fresh because they made it for the holiday.
Yeah, it's a great point.
Because she was all about the orange Halloween Oreos.
Oh, I never had those.
It's a whatever.
You got like an orange cream.
But she's like, they're different. They're fresh. I'm like, it's a fucking Oreo.
Yeah.
It's not, there's nothing fresh about an Oreo.
But those white.
This is astronaut food.
Like, it's
not fresh.
You could do like a blind taste test. Like those white fudge Oreos, like they taste like something you'd find at a mom and pop candy shop. You know, like a fudge shop. Like they don't taste like.
All right. I'll get down on those.
They're so fucking good. Big fan. Here's a good question from Alexandra Honesto. What do you think will get lost in translation about the holiday season 100 years from now? And based on that logic, I wonder, you know, what now has been lost from, say, 100 years ago?
Fucking lutefisk, hopefully.
Yeah.
Fish, crummy fish soaked in poison.
Yeah. You think, are people still doing the stockings still a big thing? Stocking stuffers and stock. Like, where'd
that
start?
Yeah.
I feel like I learned that at some point, but where did the whole stocking thing come from?
I don't know, but that's where you get your little fun gifts. Mm-hmm. We used to, the big thing in my family were like, for a while, is you give everybody shit gifts.
Okay.
Basically, like the family's together, you're not buying. Every year they kept, that side of the family which kept trying to reinvent how to give gifts to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it'll be this much limit, but not. And then I was like, just spend $10, get everybody $10 worth of whatever shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned in. I like how you're taking bottled water from a plastic bottle and then pouring it into your
That's for you.
Reusable water
I'm trying
bottle.
To trick you. Like, look, I'm not mowing through plastic bottles all week.
Yeah, I was like, I think kind of defeats the purpose there, Dave, but you do what you're going to do.
No, but like I do use this, like this morning I stole from the green room the big 5 gallon thing, filled it up.
So. Well, that's not stealing. That's what that water's there for in the big dispensers. It's okay.
Yeah, I know.
They have it. But it was like they were just giving each other like scratch off tickets or some stupid kind of candy or something.
Yeah.
And that was fun because then you got everybody get each other scratch off tickets, but then maybe somebody won scratch off money. Like, you know, I think my cousin got like $1,500.
What happens?
That's exciting for everybody.
Does the giver?
That's the point of you gave it to somebody, and then you get the reward, you get the pride of knowing you gifted that to somebody. But there's no finder's fee.
I always forget what's the white elephant thing again.
I never.
How does that work?
I don't know how that works. Like you get, I don't know.
Is that like Secret Santa?
All this shit, man. I don't know, and I fucking hate it. I truly hate it. If you like somebody and you just see something in a store that you think they'd like, just get it for them any time of year.
Yeah.
I thought of you. I thought you might like this. So I don't know what Secret Santa is. It's like draw a name from a hat and then put a.
Let me ask you this. Did you have any dynamic or situation where somebody in your family always got you a gift, but then you never reciprocated?
No, like my close family. Tegan and I were real good because we would just be like, we'd just ask each other, you want a thing or do you want an experience? It was always experience. So we'd just sign each other up. Like,
okay, that's cool.
I got her like a trapeze lesson and stuff.
Yeah.
And she, like, we'll just get each other like, just here's a dumb thing.
Yeah.
You got to do this dumb thing and then tell me about it.
I was in my 30s before I have two aunts, Aunt Wanda and Aunt Blanche, and my whole childhood they would always get me a Christmas gift. And it was nothing, you know, crazy. It was always just, you know, some little thing. But you know, because that started when I was a child, and there was no expectation for me to get them a gift, that I just rode that wave until one day I was like 33, sitting at Christmas, and I'm like, thanks, Wanda. Yeah. And then I'm just like, oh, shit, I guess I should start getting them a little gift.
Yeah, and I'm sure they didn't even think about it that way. Mm-hmm. No, I did have an aunt. I had an aunt that lived in Florida that always sent us gifts, you know, from being a little kid. You know, I'm like, thank you, Aunt Yeti. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what you do for, like, children is you get them gifts.
Yeah. Yeah, and, I'm not good giving gifts for, extended family. Like, I don't know. What do you like? What does Aunt Blanche want for Christmas?
And then I get caught up in the, like, well, I'll get you just the thought that counts. Well, the thought is now here's some crap that you'll never use, and there's just more garbage in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, shit, gifts. Like, isn't this funny? Like, you're opening a piece of plastic that's funny for 3 minutes, and then it's just some plastic shit that because of the way I'm made up, I will attach some sort of sentiment to it, and then I can't throw it out, even though it was a fucking Pez dispenser that was meant as, like, just a gag gift. Mm-hmm. Now I can't throw it out because somebody gave that to me, and they thought about it.
Yeah.
Like, I have shoe boxes of, like, cards from everything. Like, I can't throw them out.
I don't throw away cards from, like, Katie. She gives me a card. I've got shoeboxes full of those. But, yeah, anybody else, you know, I'll keep it for a couple days, and then it finds its way into the trash.
No, I got them everywhere.
That's like, I think that's an old Seinfeld bit. It's not like you wrote the poem and painted the picture.
Yeah. But I'm like, no, somebody thought about this and then wrote something nice in there, even if it's just, like, if it's past happy birthday or even something special. Like, I got that.
I always, speaking of the cards, like, you buy a card that's got the little poem already on it. How obligated are you to continue that sentiment on your own?
How, or do you you're just not obligated. How do you feel about the person you're giving it to?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes
up to you, man.
Yeah. But even that just seems disingenuous. Like, yeah, I just, somebody else wrote, you know. Hallmark wrote this stupid little poem.
Yeah.
I signed my name to it.
Well, the thought is that you spent some time looking for whatever Hallmark wrote that summed up your feelings the best.
I used to have a thing with my parents. I don't know why I always thought that was funny. I would try to find them, like, gag cards.
Oh, yeah.
But my favorite go-to, I did this for years and years. Somehow it cracked my dad up, but I would get my dad just Spanish language cards.
Oh, yeah, you get them in Spanish, you get the
sympathy. He can't read it.
But you get the sympathy cards.
Yeah.
Sorry for your loss. Yeah, I always do that.
Or, like, I would get my dad, like, for his birthday, like, you know, on his 70th birthday, I'd buy a little kid's 7th birthday and then add a 0 to it.
Oh, yeah, because but then, see, you're making it your own. You went through the effort to make something fun for somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess I am pretty good.
Yeah, you're great. You're doing great, Dave.
Trixie Emerson. What's up, Trixie? Should I get a Loch Ness Monster tramp stamp? Yes, you should. Where does that start and end?
Is it just like the head poking out of your crack?
Yeah. You could have fun with that.
I think if anything, if something's coming out of your crack. Where do you start with a tramp stamp that's like cryptid in good times? Loch Ness, I think Nessie would serve better. Shit, I don't even know where I'm going. Fucking go for it, Trixie.
Yeah, why not? I like that. I try to do that with my Bigfoot tattoo. Sometimes if I'm feeling, my arms aren't hairy enough for this joke to really work, but sometimes if I'm feeling silly, I will shave around Bigfoot.
Really give it that.
And then, leave the hair
that three-dimensional effect.
Yeah, I like shit like that. Also, Trixie says, also, a favorite Christmas tradition of mine is putting up the Christmas tree while listening to Megadeth. There you go.
Nice. Good stuff. You know what I invented before it was out? Christmas tree with lights built into it. Christmas tree where the lights were already part of the branches.
Okay,
so
I like that.
So you just set it up, plug it in.
Yeah.
Then it came out a few years later.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
But I was ahead of the time on that one.
Way to go. Kyle Jimmy Johnson, What are your favorite Christmas movies, Dave? Is yours really that fucking Walton family Christmas movie?
See,
yes, it
Dave,
is, Kyle.
People think it sucks.
Yes, the fuck it is, Kyle.
People know that it sucks.
I don't appreciate your tone. I'm not going to say it's my favorite Christmas movie, but I enjoy it. It's a nice, wholesome, nostalgic Christmas movie. The dad's coming home. Your dad's working.
Dude.
And there's a bus accident.
We've gone over this.
He's hitchhiking home to his family.
That movie.
Teenage son's going out trying to find him.
Movie is like just ass kissing to Jesus.
I would guess, yeah, Christmas Vacation, probably my favorite. Yeah. I really like Christmas Story, but now they've just run that one in the ground. You know, that's just like the last 30 years.
That's speaking to that other one about what traditions like that'll stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I watched It's a Wonderful Life for the first time.
Yeah. I haven't seen that in years.
And I was
but
like,
I remember,
oh, okay, that's a whole thing.
Remember that one.
How about it? Yeah.
Now, that's the one with the Ghost of Christmas Past and all that. Is that?
No, that's A Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol. What's A Wonderful Life about?
It's the guy thinks
he's about to kill himself?
Yeah, and like, well, look what would happen.
Okay.
Yeah, Walton, that is like... That is just for the fucking... Like, everybody watching that has got to be so repressed and horny. And like they're like nobody's watching that because it's good and because they like it. They're watching it because they think Jesus can read their mind and like, see Jesus, I'm a good Christian. I like this movie. And then while they're watching it, it's just like just their actuality of real life is like, you're fucking gay, dude. Just be gay. Admit you're gay. Live a good life. Like I'm not gay. I'm watching the Waltons. Conversion therapy. That's what that movie is.
What you doing behind locked doors, John Boy?
Oh. That movie is conversion therapy. That's what parents play.
You shot a sitting still bird? Sure looks like a store-bought turkey to me. David Weber, are y'all reading anything good right now? / have any good book recommendations? I'm currently reading the Drive-By Truckers story. This just came out about 2 months ago. It's called Where the Devil Don't Stay, one of their finer songs by Stephen Dusner, and about a quarter of the way through it, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, just if you like the band.
History of the band.
Yeah, just a history of the band, and this is the first book that's ever been written. They've been around a quarter of a century now.
Yeah.
And this is the first time, you know, they're one of those bands, they're still, I guess, kind of a cultish band, you know, they're not like a huge mainstream band, even though... You know, they got a huge following.
Do they have crazy stories? I mean, some bands I don't think need a book written about them. Like, well, we got together and then we practiced our songs and we played the songs and people liked the songs.
Yeah, they got some interesting stories so far. Like I said, I'm just kind of at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
But I've already, you know, I feel like they're probably my favorite band. So I feel like I know a lot about them, but I'm already learning some stuff that I didn't know. So that's pretty cool. What are you reading?
I'm reading The Road. I'm finishing The Road, and that is... Man, that is a... you know what? I know it's this great book, and the prose is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I am certainly in the minority here. But it's just every page is just another way of describing something being cold and gray and hopeless.
Yeah.
And it's, you know... What Cormac McCarthy does in that he's found a different way for each page to describe cold and gray and hopelessness.
Would I know any of his other work?
He did, and this is the first book I'm reading by him, by the way. He did No Country for Old Men.
So, as
far as the movies, yeah. So he wrote that. But it's just like, I'm just getting to a point. I'm not, you know what? I should have like corrected myself and know that you're reading something for the prose, mm-hmm. for like how it's written, not what the story is necessarily.
Yeah.
Because this one, I'm like, nothing's happening. And I'm almost done. Nothing's happening.
Really? How many pages? Just normal size book or is it crazy long?
No. It's like, you know, a couple hundred pages. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful, but it is just fucking bleak.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to get the point where I'm like looking ahead a few pages. Like, you still on the road? I mean, it's called the road, but is that it? You are just on the road. Mm-hmm. Okay, still the road. Gotcha. Anything change on the road? Nope. Just had one tin of moldy peaches to split between you and the boy, and then you gathered your belongings and got out on the cold gray road again. Okay, then. All right. Here we go, Cormac.
You've got a great new bit. I won't spoil any of the jokes about reading Nikki Sixx's heroin diaries.
Yeah, man.
I won't do any of the jokes, but you basically talk about what a quick read that was. Did you crush that? Like, have you ever read a whole book in one setting?
I wonder if we're keeping people up next time. I have gone through not one sitting, but like I've mowed through things in a couple days.
Yeah.
But those rock autobiographies, like that Nothing But a Good Time book about the Sunset Strip I got through. Nikki Sixx's Heroin Diaries. It's just,
I love that bit, by the way.
You've heard, thanks, man. But like, you've heard the stories about Nikki Sixx. He's just telling those stories again. Yeah. Like, you get the idea.
Is that all it is? Just, this is the shit I did when I was on heroin.
Yeah, and then, but there's, and then there's actual pages from his actual diary at the time. And it's real goth teen type shit. It's, you know what, if you're a Motley Crue fan, maybe this is going to scratch an itch. But if you read The Dirt, I don't know how much you need Nikki Sixx's Heroin Diaries. It's not as far as rock and roll guy stuff goes. But yeah, all summer I read Lemmy's autobiography. A buddy sent me that. I read Mark Lanigan's. Mishka Shubali was the editor.
Oh, really?
On that. So he sent me that book. So I read Mark Lanigan's thing. And it's just, you know, musicians that do drugs and do terrible things. And you're like, oh, man, what a wild life. And you realize, oh, if this guy wasn't in a band, he'd just be a piece of shit. He's still a piece of shit.
Of course, yeah.
But for some reason, the band aspect, like, oh, artists are so misunderstood. And we excuse artists. We excuse behavior if somebody's talented, if they're a piece of shit. It's like, well, guess what? You're fucking roofer's talented at being a roofer, but you're not giving him the same allowance for being a piece of shit.
Yeah. Watch out now.
Something with the chairs and this hand bone in.
I remember years ago I read
Rusty Wood.
I read Tommy Lee, one of Tommy Lee's books, and I think that whole first chapter was written from the point of view of his dick. And I was just like, okay.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah, okay, Tommy. Yeah, they're not in Motley Crue because they're articulate authors.
Yeah. Again, won't spoil the joke, but I like how you talk about how Nikki brags about being the songwriter of the group.
Oh, yeah, I'll say, yeah. Well, by the way, I was doing all the songwriting. Oh, good. Girls, girls, girls.
Way to go.
Thanks, Nick.
Also, David Weber continues with, and we hide a pickle in the Christmas tree and have the kids try to find it for an extra present.
Oh, I remember that one.
And I always watch Krampus each Christmas. Shit's real fun. What do you mean remember that? That's a thing? That's a
tradition?
There
was like a pickle ornament.
Huh.
And there was something about like you hide it and whoever finds it.
Oh, okay.
I did. Yeah, we did have that. It never took for that long. We didn't have Elf on a Shelf. We didn't do any of that stuff.
What is that? That's kind of a recent thing.
It's like Santa. Apparently, it's like Santa's narc.
Oh, really? Okay.
So that's who's watching you.
Naughty or nice.
Yeah.
But they have to move it every day. You move it,
dude. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just know it's like some sort of behavioral manipulation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we didn't have that.
And you put it in your house, like, see, Santa's watching you via his fucking narc over here. So if you misbehave, this rat is going to go up the food chain and you're not going to get presents.
That reminds me, another Christmas movie I absolutely love, and I made Katie watch it and she didn't care for it. And I think I've talked about this in past Christmas episodes, but Santa Claus the Movie, not the Santa Claus with Tim Allen. This is Santa Claus the Movie. It's got John Lithgow. It's ironically the Santa Claus character is in the Homecoming. He's the sheriff from the Homecoming who's looking for the Robin Hood bandit, and he's eating his sliced bologna and crackers.
Wait, what?
In the general store.
Hold on, what?
Uh huh. It's called Santa Claus the Movie.
The Homecoming.
Oh, yeah, I'm saying in Santa Claus the Movie.
Is that the name of the Walton movie?
Yeah, the Walton movie is called
Okay,
the Homecoming.
Sorry, I wasn't familiar with the vernacular.
And the sheriff in the Walton's Homecoming is Santa Claus in Santa Claus the Movie.
Well, that's enough of a reason for me to hate Santa Claus the Movie.
And Dudley Moore is in it. And,
Six degrees of not a fucking chance I want to watch anything related to this is what that is.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. But, yeah, Santa Claus the Movie, solid. It's a solid movie. It's about the quick premises. Dudley Moore is like Santa Claus' main elf. He's like the main guy.
Okay.
And he's trying to change with the times. And he's trying to implement some technology into the Christmas factory, and so they can churn out toys quicker. And it kind of there's some faulty craftsmanship involved, and then he kind of gets demoted, and Santa, you know, replaces him with another main elf, and then Dudley Moore's character gets pissed and leaves, and he goes to New York City, and he hooks up with John Lithgow, who's a big toy mogul. And he starts working for him, and then there's a little homeless kid story, and it's a fun movie.
Tugging on all the heartstrings.
It's a fun movie.
I enjoyed Bad Santa, I'll say that.
I enjoyed that was too. Fun.
Bad Santa, and you know what? To counter that, Elf, I think Elf is a modern-day classic.
Yeah, solid. But yeah, Bad Santa's good. I enjoyed that. Justin Cider says he's enjoying a slice of applesauce cake with a tall glass
Justin
of the recipe.
Justin Cider.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just the tip. There you go. Shout out. Preston Chadwick, better Home Alone 1 or 2? Great question.
I don't even know if I fucked around with Home Alone 2.
You heard that Mulaney bit about it?
No.
So, I won't do the whole bit. He's just talking about, I can't remember how he sets it up, but he's just talking about, he's like, oh, I wish I was a Def Jam comic, because then I would rant about Home Alone 2. And he's like, yeah, I know it's dumb to talk about a movie that's 20 years old, but I wasn't a comedian back then. He's like, if I was, I would have torn apart. Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. It's a grid system, motherfucker. How you get lost in New York? It's pretty funny.
My feeling was like, they forgot him again?
Yeah.
Nope. No. Unbelievable premise.
Yeah.
Nope. No thanks.
This just came out in the news this last week. I don't know if this is news, but the actual house that they set and shot Home Alone in is now, you can get that on Airbnb. You can stay there. I don't know what the price is, but yeah.
Probably a lot. They got that up in Skokie or Evanston or something.
Oh, really?
That was the thing where you would drive around, you know, when you're kids, if you got lost in those neighborhoods up north. Every the best gag was like, I think that's the Home Alone house, because every fifth house looked exactly like the Home Alone house.
Yeah. It's a big-ass house. But what a violent movie that was, if you think about it.
Yeah, I saw Hampton Yunt just put something online. He's like, millionaire kid goes to church and then enforces stand your ground laws. Like, about how just...
Oh, my God. Let's see. Drew Brooks. We don't really have a Christmas tradition other than my sister hiding the remote and leaving the TV on A Christmas Story for 24 hours straight. Food-wise, I'm going to try and talk my family into doing a rib roast this year and probably drink a bunch of cider and Johnny Jump-Ups. That's apparently a pint of cider with some whiskey. That sounds pretty good. Cider and whiskey together. He also continues, I was hoping to go hiking in Joshua Tree in Death Valley between Christmas and New Year's, but that's not happening, so my girlfriend and I are ringing in the New Year in New Orleans instead. I'm real stoked about that one, as you should be. New Orleans
That'd
is
be
great.
A hell of a place to do it. Hell I was in New Orleans one year for
New Year's. We're going to New Orleans in a couple days.
Yeah.
So that'll
you,
be fun.
Are you a Nog guy?
I never was. Just because I wasn't exposed to it, we didn't drink it growing up. Nobody in my family ever had it until.
Oh, you didn't look at pancake batter and said, no, don't put that in the griddle just yet. Just give me a cup of it.
But a couple of years ago, Ryan Singer made me a batch of homemade eggnog.
Yeah.
And it was delicious. It just tastes like a liquid sugar cookie. It was awesome.
Yeah. Is there other kinds of nogs?
Other than egg? That's a great question. Yeah. Yeah, why do they, yeah.
What else can you nog? Is nogging the process? Is that why it's called? Like, we've nogged some eggs.
I can't remember. He actually, we did a video on Dave's Kitchen here on the Patreon a couple of years ago, and I can't remember all the ingredients or the process, but I think it was just cream and eggs and
cloves.
Yeah, cinnamon and nutmeg, and but yeah, I don't know what
cream
the
and eggs.
Yeah, cream and eggs. Oof.
The description of eggnog is not pleasant.
Yeah,
I still like it too, uh-huh. But then.
And what do you put bourbon in it? Right, is that the main liquor that people put in it?
Maybe brandy.
Brandy.
Okay. I was never interested in having alcohol in something that's already pretty much the consistency of vomit. I don't need this.
Oh my God, Drew! If you're going to New Orleans, hit up Koshan. That's where I will be in a couple days. I'm staying. Our run ends in New Orleans on Thursday, but I'm staying an extra day just to eat, just by myself in New Orleans.
That's not as weird of a thing as like it's New Orleans. Yeah. People, that is a destination city.
Yeah. But I'm not interested in any of the sights, anything. Just I just want to eat. I mean,
the food is an attraction for places. Yeah. I mean, you're not that much of a weirdo for wanting to visit somewhere for the cuisine, Dave. Yeah.
No,
like,
I know.
People do that.
I know. I just self-conscious.
Anthony
about
Bourdain
it.
Made a whole career of doing
true.
That.
True. Yeah, but yeah.
And look how well it went for him.
Ariel,
can I get super weird? Let me find out what like his last meal was.
No.
Like, that'd be something I'm curious about. Very more, not even trying to make a joke about it, but, like, I wonder if, like, this isn't the most pleasant thing to, like, if he was, like, knew what his plan was going to be.
Yeah.
And if the meal beforehand.
And also, not to be morbid, but was it pills? Was
we're
it
already
hanging? What
I think he asphyxiated himself.
Okay. Mm.
But I wonder, like, what the meal was.
Yeah.
It's probably a Googleable thing. I'm going to look it up. You keep talking, Dave.
Go on, ask a question.
Oh, man. Ariel says, for the past couple of years, I've been making what I like to call special occasion biscuits and gravy. Okay. As opposed to your day-to-day B&G. Self-explanatory name, but it's something that I only ever get a chance to make during the holidays for my family, everything from scratch with sausage gravy. Do you have any hacks for biscuits and gravy? Man, speaking of which, this morning we were in Birmingham. We ate at BBB, Big Bad Breakfast.
The baddest.
I've gone on record before, and I'll stick to it. Not even close, the best breakfast spot I have ever eaten at. They got one or two in Birmingham. They got one in Nashville. I think they got one in Charleston. I think they might have one in Oxford, Mississippi. But, oh, my God. And this morning, you had a little sample of their tomato gravy. Basically, think of like kind of like a tomato bisque. But, yeah, just poured over that biscuit. Oh, my God. It was insane. Hacks for biscuits and gravy. I mean, you probably, if you're making special occasion biscuits, Ariel, you probably already know to use the grease from the sausage. Use that as your base fat for the gravy. Add a little, make a little roux out of that with some flour. Add a little milk to it, and then hit it with the spices of choice. You know, a little black pepper, maybe a little smoked paprika, maybe some red pepper flakes if you want to get it spicy. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's not really any hacks, but that's just kind of how I do it. In terms of hacks for the actual biscuit, you know, we've talked for years about my biscuit recipe, but one of the hacks.
It's on a shirt, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, it's on my merch. But freeze that butter and grate it with a cheese grater. And that'll do two things. That keeps that butter cold, because once your hands get on it, you start messing with that dough, your body temperature is going to melt some of that butter. And the point being, you want, when they go into the oven, you want everything as cold as possible. I don't understand the science behind it, but that's just how you're supposed to do it. So it keeps everything cold if you melt that butter. Plus, when you grate it, it keeps all those little biscuit flecks uniform in size, and as opposed to just, you know, these oddly shaped chunks of butter. But yeah, those were my biscuit hacks there.
Well, apparently, Anthony Bourdain, they weren't sure what his last meal was, but the last meal he had on this show was hard-boiled eggs. Huh. That was it. Just at a friend's apartment, hard-boiled eggs.
Hmm. I wonder what the last episode they filmed was. I know we can go back and look at the last one that they aired. But
That's what it said. It was the last one.
I wonder what city he was in.
I like it. It said New York. He was at a friend's apartment at hard-boiled eggs. All right.
Okay.
I hard-boiled egg.
One of those last episodes, I think they did one on the Lower East Side, so that was probably that one. But interesting. Rest in peace. I always liked him. Ben Breen, am I pronouncing that right?
Ben's my buddy.
Oh, you know Ben?
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, Breyne. Cool. Yeah.
Don't do a ton of meat these days, but traditional Christmas Eve is a brisket for family around 4 and brisket for friends around midnight. A double brisket. I like that. Always a coffee-based rub. Does Dave have any secret ingredients or off-the-wall stuff to toss in the rub for something special? This is pretty basic with some espresso, paprika, salt, and pepper. No, nothing. I don't do anything. I was about to say the weirdest thing I ever put in a rub is some coffee sometimes with brisket.
Yeah, so he's already messing with that.
You're already messing with that. No, I mean, maybe some sort of herb. You know, maybe some sort of rosemary, oregano, something like that. I do like a little herbal component to the rub, especially if you're talking prime rib, even, which you're not. You're talking brisket, but that would probably translate to brisket pretty much the same. So.
What about a fun dip?
Fun dip?
Yeah, would you ever try fun dip?
Fun dip on the rub?
Yeah.
A little fruity?
Yeah. You mix and match the colors of the fun dip.
I never thought of that. Although this morning at Big Bad Breakfast, I was reading one of the descriptions of one of the items, and they have ham powder on their Eggs Benedict. They sprinkle ham powder.
What is that supposed to be?
I have no fucking idea. What could that be?
Blow a pig fart on there for me. Fucking ham powder. Get out of here. Get out of here with that. that's some nonsense.
All right, let's. We got a few more here. We probably should wrap it up because it is late here and these walls are thin.
Yeah, we're chit chatting.
Yeah, we may not be able to get to all these. We got quite a few here, but so apologies. But we'll get a few more random ones here. Let me see. I had one lined up here. Hold on. Oh yeah, Lee Singleton. I talked to Lee tonight. Lee was at our show in Pensacola, and Lee told me he had food poisoning yesterday. And I said, "What'd you eat?" And he said, "All I had was some beef jerky and some grapes." I was like, I don't know how you get food poisoning from that, but
that's what you feed. That's what you feed a parrot.
So he seemed to be doing better. So I hope you're feeling better, Lee, and thanks for coming to the show. Lee says, first, I just wanted to say that I'm thankful that I'm going to get to see y'all next month.
Raisins are just grape jerky.
Last 2 years have been an absolute fucking nightmare, and we could use some Christmas cheer from the two of you. His question is, what's the worst present you've ever received for Christmas, and were you able to successfully trick the gift giver into thinking you liked it? Good question.
Worst. Oh man.
One of the she doesn't listen, so I can talk about this. A couple of years ago, I wanted we were just talking about this in another anecdote tonight off the air, but a couple of years ago I got really big into my prepper kick.
Yeah.
And I told you this story, but I bought what I thought was a really cool tactical backpack that was going to be my bug out bag. And I think I talked about this when it happened, but didn't look at the dimensions and the size and the liters and all that. And the way they advertised this thing, you would just think, like, because they advertised it like a prepper, survivalist type thing. The fucking thing came in the mail. It was the size of a small purse.
Yeah, there's like a whole ripoff market with that stuff.
Yeah, what am I supposed to do with this? So anyway, Katie tried to correct the situation, and she got me. She was really enthused about, "Oh, I got you something you're really gonna like."
Yeah,
and, you know, blah blah blah. And it was just, it was one of those backpacks. It was basically just a big pouch, and it has like the little flap, and then like the drawstring.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was just like a rucksack or something. Like,
yeah,
just no compartments, no zippers, and I was just like,
yeah.
Boy, I hate this so bad. And I just had to kind of fake it. And then, like,
Oh, you didn't return it?
No. I was just like, dang.
This is what I've realized, like, I need to be better about. Somebody would rather see you have the thing you want to have.
Yeah. Yeah. But she was so excited. And I just didn't have the heart to be like,
yeah,
that's not what I wanted.
Yeah, that's where you're going to be like, this is great. The idea is great, but I would need some of these things. So, you know.
Yeah.
I did. Rachel went bonkers on me last year. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. What else did she get you?
She got me a train set.
Really?
Because I lost a job. I'm like, this is fun and hilarious, but I'm like, where would I put this? Like, I'm not going to play with it.
I've always wanted a train set up high.
Exactly. Now, you want to get me an old ping pong table and I could start crafting the world?
Uh-huh.
That's retirement. I got a huge basement to
Didn't
do that.
Did you have a bit
kind of
about
stuff.
That?
Yes, I did.
Uh-huh.
Hence the reason she got it for me. But she's like, I don't know. I just went to that hobby store. I just got it. She was just getting stuff like, you might like it. I was like, I truly appreciate the thought behind this.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think there's nowhere to put. I'm not going to just set it up and let it go around in circles and then break it down. Like, the idea is that you craft the little mountains, like it turns into this unending. It's a world building project. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't play Minecraft or whatever, but I assume that's like when you're building virtual worlds, like a Sims or something. Mm-hmm. This is building a physical world. The train just happens to be the inspiration to create new land. So that's what I was like, I think I gotta return this train set, but I really do appreciate. Rachel, she said she went to the hobby store. She's like, I want to get a train set. And the guy was like, the guy there is like, little boy or big boy? She's like, he's in his 40s. He's like, okay, this might be something more for that.
Little boy or big boy?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But it was like, it was a very sweet gift. But I was like, I don't even want to be polite and just have this in the house.
Yeah.
And know that there's stuff I could use from the hobby shop.
Mm-hmm.
And her feelings weren't hurt. Yeah. And the same thing, like, I got her a bunch of stuff. She's like, oh, probably not this. I'm like, good, great, get something else. Like,
yeah.
My feelings weren't
hurt. Yeah, that's true. I should probably just be honest.
And now we're just going on vacation this year.
Yeah.
Like, here's our trip to ourselves. Let's just go on vacation.
Have we talked about that on the show?
Yeah, we're just going to taking a trip, going to Hawaii for Christmas. Just
awesome, dude.
Here's our present.
Mm-hmm.
Not sitting in Oregon.
Yeah,
sitting in the gray muck.
And you will be there during actual Christmas.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, I leave the day after I get back from this run.
Oh man, that's gonna be fun. All right, let's wrap it up. One last one, kind of related to vacations and whatnot. Mark McConaughey, is that pronounced the same way as Matthew? He says, or he asks, are cruise gigs good for comics? Are they better for money or visibility? We recently did a cruise where they had three comics. One killed several times. However, the other two seemed like they were still working on their material. I've never, a little inside baseball, usually comics who do cruises, I mean, I'm not going to shit on any comic for doing a cruise because I hear they do pay very well, but there are comics who their whole career goal is just to be the cruise comic guy, and that can never be great.
Work clean.
Do you want to talk about the possibility?
Ironically, don't rock the boat.
Yeah.
As a cruise ship comic.
You want to talk about that opportunity you might partake in?
Well, I said yes to it. I'm doing the Ship Rocked.
Okay. You said yes to it.
Doing a heavy metal cruise in January.
Hell yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. I think we talked about that on the show. Lamb of God's going to be there.
Lamb of God and then a bunch of other bands.
Seven Dust?
I think Seven Dust. P.O.D.
P.O.D.
Christian Rockers. P.O.D.
Yeah. What was their big hit? They had one big hit.
I don't know. Who did the Cut My Life Into Pieces song?
That was Papa Roach.
Oh, Father Roach.
Yeah.
But that's a different kind of like party cruise, and I'm a comedian that's part of this themed party cruise.
Yeah.
Cruise ship comics, it's not really, it's a way to if you can work clean and not like you can get regular bookings and it's then you're on a cruise. I mean, your job is to work a little bit every night and
yeah,
then be on a cruise. But it's not within comedy. I would say it's not. It's not the gig people aim for.
Yeah.
But it is a rare steady gig within stand up that if you're trying to pay your bills and still tell jokes, that is one avenue to go.
Yeah. I can't imagine the shows being very
But good. You tend to have to be like, you can't offend anybody. You have to work clean. And some people do that. And some people do that incredibly well and are great comics. Mm-hmm. But then
how many days are you going to be on the cruise?
I think it's like 4 or 5 days.
Okay. How many shows you got to do? Every night?
No, I just got to do 2 shows and then like a couple other, like, I don't know, host a thing or something. I don't know.
Okay. Well, shit, yeah, man.
I said, yeah. I was like, all right, let's give it a shot. Because I was like, because I was afraid of it. Because then I came back. Yeah, the shows are at midnight. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Midnight on an open bar heavy metal cruise through the Gulf of Mexico. I'm like, it sounds like it's going to be terrible. Let's do it.
So midnight shows, are you going to be going on after the bands?
It's its own room within the ship, like an own little theater.
Okay.
I don't know how it's going to be, man. I said yes to it, and I'm gonna do my best. I figure I got enough. I figure if I could just Don Rickles the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that make fun of sunburnt Seven Dust fans.
Yeah, maybe flex that crowd work muscle a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to work on that. Uh-huh. We're going to work on some things. So. But it should be all right. I think we'll be all right.
Well, good for you, buddy. That sounds fun. Well, cool. Yeah, we got to wrap it up. It's getting late here. And
yeah, man, I got to go to bed.
We got to hit the road again tomorrow. Road goes on forever.
4 hours again.
4 hours, I think, from here to Lafayette.
Lafayette.
Shout out to, I don't know if these guys are patrons, but we got invited to a boucherie in Lafayette. They're going to kill a hog and cook all the parts.
We're going to kill a hog.
Probably not going to be able to make it just because time is so scarce on this run, but we appreciate the invite and appreciate everybody who's come out to the show so far on this run. And we appreciate you guys and gals and everybody else, the patrons. So, as always, much appreciated.
Hell yeah, Dave.
Especially, I know we've got several that have been with us from day one. So, yeah, thanks for sticking with us and tolerating our mediocre bonus content. But everybody have a great holiday season, Christmas, whatever you're doing.
Mediocre bonus content. We had some laughs.
But, yeah, everybody be safe. Whatever you celebrate in this holiday season, get into it and have some fun. And, yeah, we will.
Good night.
Little program note. I think we got maybe one more week of regular episode, and then we're going to be taking a 2 or 3 week break ourselves because you're not going to want to record when you're in fucking Hawaii, dude. And I don't blame you.
Nope.
So you get out there and have some fun.
I'm bringing Crocs, swim trunks.
Hell yeah.
That's it.
That's it. No shirts.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'll buy new, man. Want me to wear a shirt? I'll buy a shirt for
Hell
the
yeah.
place.
Thank you, patrons. We'll holler at you next month.
Surprise, old men telling lies, trying to top each other as if there was a prize. A waitress in jingle bells and a trucker play show and tell as the man behind the counter and a boozer harmonize. I wish to God that I was home as I stare out at the storm, hands around my coffee cup, the only part of me that's warm.
other place to be or go. And without a soul I know. And this truck stop pumpkin pie just seems to add to my forlorn. But it looks like this is gonna be a truck stop Christmas. Miles from where I really wanted to be. And I hate to know how they'll be missing me. It's gonna be a truck stop Christmas and a lonesome Christmas Eve.
Oh, Lord, yeah. Okay, thank you.